Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have a very long day ahead of me, so I'm going to need to keep this thing moving.
This is Hour 4 of Fourier's 25 for 25. 25 hours on the radio with the goal of raising $25,000 for the American Diabetes Association.
Let's do this!
Brought to you by Test Strips, Think Inside the Box, Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in men's sexual health, Omnipod Insulin Management System, McFarlane Energy, Shaw's and Star Market, and AtlanticPowerCleaning.com. To make a donation, visit WEEI.com/25.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
This here is former New England Patriot and current WEEI Sports Radio talk show host Christian Fourier.
He'll be talking on the radio for 25 straight hours. Wow.
25 straight hours on the radio.
He's going to try to raise money for the American Diabetes Association.
We are literally putting together the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports on this very program. We've got Larry Bird.
Bird scored 60 points. Look at the Boston players mob him.
Tom Brady.
It is a four-touchdown day for Tom Brady.
Dante Hightower.
Here comes Dante Hightower. The ball jerk free.
Teddy Bruschi.
Give it to me. Say it, Bo Yates.
Day two in that first hour. We have Bob York.
The idea is to raise $25,000 for the American Diabetes Association.
Right now.
Woo! Let's go!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
That's how we started it. We're 3 hours in. 22 to go for the big fella. That is 1/8 if you're into fractions. 1/8 of your goal. That's where you are.
I was eating.
Are you eating now?
I almost choked.
What is this?
Do you have to
get some energy?
Like, every half hour?
Get some energy.
I didn't know you were going to be
Stay
so
off the
I was
sugar.
Trying to get some energy.
Stay off the sugar.
So can I kind of thank the sponsors real quick?
Yeah,
give me a second real quick because everybody's been great. Everybody's been helping out. Omnipod Insulin Management System. I want to thank you guys. Northeast Men's Clinic. Dale's going to be here tomorrow. Actually, he's going to be on the phone with Greg on the Greg Hill Show. Test strips, think inside the box. We had Chad in here earlier talking about how you can get affordable test strips. AtlanticPowerCleaning.com. Get your house power clean. That's what I did. McFarland Energy. Scott, the owner, came in early. He's awesome. Shaw's and Star Market. They're going to be in tomorrow. And Awaken 180. So I want to thank all those sponsors for helping us out. So far, we're kicking ass right now. And you know, and they say even if we get to 25 before 25 hours, I can't stop. So, I'm here for the duration.
There you go.
What.
You said you were going to stop.
Well, I thought the goal was once we hit 25, I'd go home.
No.
I just thought I'd come out the gate swinging.
No.
You have to go all 25.
You got to forfeit all the 25. Money if you don't go 25 hours.
So, we've already talked to Larry Bird today. It was terrific. It was great. And we're going to talk to Tom Brady coming up in this hour as we try to fill out Mount Rushmore. Boston sports. Bobby Orr will join us tomorrow at 2:30. He is certainly the third guy on that. And we're hopeful that we're going to get the fourth guy that we believe deserves to be up there on the Mount Rushmore. The other thing we could tell you is where you can really help out. There are some great auction items. Each one of the professional sports teams have helped us out. The Patriots have given us a pair of tickets to see the Patriots, including a special on-field experience. They do this for special people before the game. It's terrific. Celtics have given us a pair of floor seats to see the Celtics take on the Spurs. You'll be out on the court right there with Donnie Wahlberg, and you'll be there with all of the players. It's terrific. Halftime, you'll be able to walk out on the floor, take a little picture, whatever. The Bruins have given us a pair of tickets to see the Bruins and an exclusive high-five experience for your child. Be awesome to high-five all of the players as they're coming off the ice. And for them, from the Red Sox, four Green Monster seats for a Red Sox-Yankees game with a pregame tour. And I truly believe that pregame tour takes you through the little scoreboard out in left field, which is terrific. And thanks to the Pawtucket Red Sox, they helped us out with a ceremonial first pitch at one of their games next season.
So if you know anybody you want to embarrass,
yep,
throw them out there in the mound.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
4 premium tickets. You get a VIP tour of the stadium, on-field photo, and you get to throw out the first pitch. Now, if you want to bid on any of these items, all you have to do is text WEEI to 71760. That's 71760, and just text WEEI.
Nice. Let's go.
And
make some
donations.
Donations.
I
thought
it was a draft. Don't be hitting on me. Put some money in.
Stupid ass.
So Teddy Bruschi had the same reaction that that we had with the Colin Kaepernick thing. It's like,
Is anybody yelling at him now?
I don't know. It's like, and everybody's saying the same thing. It's week 11. It's a quarterback. Has to learn the system. What are we doing in all of this? And for some reason, Kaepernick was smart enough to pick it up and basically say, so he's expecting general managers and coaches to show up Saturday when these teams are playing games in different cities around the country on Sunday. So that's not going to happen. And Schefter talked about GM showing up.
I say to you, if there was a head coach or GM who wanted to see Colin Kaepernick work out, wouldn't they have brought him in? Now, you could say, well, maybe they didn't want to do it with all the attention it would attract, and this is a good way of doing it in a neutral form. And that is also true, by the way. Maybe there's something to be said for that. But we'll see how it turns out. Again, like I said, reach out to the Falcons. Hey, you're going to be there? We got Carolina. Okay, well, who's on a bye this week? We had the Packers on a bye, the Giants on a bye. Do you think that after 6 months of grinding every single day around the clock that Dave Gettleman, the Giants GM, or Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM, after grinding around the clock, that they want to go to Atlanta on their bye weekend to go watch Colin Kaepernick work out? Like, do you think that's what they want to do?
Adam Schefter on the Greg Hill Show this morning. No.
No.
I mean, all of this is like, it's a sham.
Yeah.
It's a joke. And the people who are politically aligned right now with Kaepernick are out there all excited like he's finally going to get his opportunity. Does anybody really believe that Colin Kaepernick, with this thing that's put together hastily because Kaepernick didn't even know about it, does anybody believe he's getting an opportunity?
Well, I tell you, Eric Reed, Panther safety Eric Reed, was, I guess, talked to the USA Today. And same skepticism. Says at this point, I believe it when I see it. It feels like a PR stunt again. With it being that's on a Saturday, what decision maker is going to be able to attend this workout? Now, he said he had talked to Colin Kaepernick, and quote, he had the same concerns I just mentioned. But he says he's ready to return the league. But, you know, it's what it seems like it is. And to me, it just seems like the league is just, and Roger Goodell is just passing the buck on to its owners. You know, if Kaepernick's not playing in our league, it's not my fault. It's not our fault. So we're going to give them an open workout, and we're going to have every team, 32 teams, whatever, send somebody. You know they're going to send somebody. It's almost like, you know, because everyone's going to sit there and say, oh, my God, this team didn't show up. That team didn't show up. And then, they, you know, so you're going to send somebody. But he's just throwing it out on the owners right now. And if I was an owner or GM, I'd be like, really?
You know what? Here's the thing. So maybe they are just paying lip service to this whole situation. Maybe they are. Maybe it's one big giant game of chicken. Maybe they do want to feel maybe the NFL does want it to seem like they care and they want to make amends. I'm sorry. This is my way of saying I'm sorry. But here's the thing. So if Colin Kaepernick really wants to get back in the league, he's going to kind of have to play the game. Like, this is part of the bells and whistles that go into getting back in. All right, listen. Oh, geez, wait. Actually, you know what? He's actually better than I thought. Maybe some team doesn't care because they don't need a quarterback, but they send somebody anyways. But someone could possibly see him and say, you know what? He's actually pretty damn good, and I can use him. And then I'm looking at what's going on in Baltimore. I'm saying, maybe I can run the same thing. Or maybe I'm thinking about drafting a quarterback similar to that in the draft next year, and I would really love to have a Colin Kaepernick type, a Lamar Jackson type, a RG3 type. They're all cut from the same cloth.
Kyler Murray out in Arizona.
They're all cut. Brent Hundley is his backup.
Yeah.
Similar offense, big body guy out of UCLA, went to Green Bay, couldn't make it now. And that's why Cliff Kingsbury has Brent Hundley. Same systems. So, well, to me, there's a decent opportunity that someone could be, maybe there is something.
Yeah,
there.
I don't think there's an opportunity.
No, I think that's possible.
No, not for this year.
Not for this year.
And
no.
They've expressed it. No. This is a lot for off season, like Christian's pointing out. You know, so to me, there's going to be a lot of attention. Colin himself in a tweet said he's looking forward to seeing coaches there. There's not going to be any coaches there.
No head coaches.
I mean, head coach is going to be there
on a
Saturday. Teams are flying all over the country. They're getting ready to play football. There's not going to be any football. There's going to be any coaches there. But So it's not really about this year. It's trying to gauge what they can possibly do next year. So there'll be a lot of attention. People can have their all opinions on it. You won't really know what the end game is until in the offseason, until June, July. And we'll find out then if Colin Kaepernick gets a chance next year because of this.
But see, I have no idea why the NFL is even doing this, because it looks like a total sham. For an example, if 32 teams show up, if they have a little roll call, and the media, it's leaked out to the media that 32 teams had representatives. They won't be head coaches, Lou. They won't be assistants. There'll be somebody in the scouting department. Then I'll tell you the whole thing is a sham, because there's no way that 32 teams are looking right now and saying, oh, we need to fly to Atlanta. We need to see what Colin Kaepernick looks like right now. No. If a few teams show up, maybe. But 32 makes no sense.
You can't continually be critical of the NFL for doing what you want them to do.
But any team could have brought him in, Christian.
But still, off season,
they could have brought him in.
So they're all independent franchises under one umbrella with one leader, supposed leader, right? You call him what you want. But you can't be critical of the NFL for doing what you want him to do and what you want them to do. So listen, I want him back in the league. Well, it just doesn't happen that way. So we're going to give you your own personal showcase. Just you. No other rookies, no other wannabes, no one from the AAF. Just you. All the spotlight's on you. I'm sorry it's on a Saturday. It's week 11. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. Okay, so if you want to get back in the league, stop acting like a putz. Stop demanding more things. Stop asking me who's going to show up, because I'm only going to go if the owner shows up, if the GM shows up, if the coach shows up. Just get your ass there, showcase your talent, and then that's out of your control. There's nothing you can do.
This is going to get ugly.
It drives me insane.
But this is going to get ugly next week, because all of the people that are supportive right now of his political stance are going to sit there next week when he's not on an NFL team and say, what the hell happened? He's not going to be on an NFL team next week.
I have a problem with guys who, if they want to get there is some holding your hat in hand. And kind of, you know, hey, you know, alms for the poor, that whole thing. You kind of have to, I feel like I'm bringing myself back to scolding my nephew. Like, listen, if you want to get back in, you kind of have to eat crow a little bit. Well, you kind of have to suck it up a little bit. It hurts because you got to swallow your pride.
If I was the league, it would be, you know, where was this, say, week one? Where was this in July? You know, when teams are putting rosters together, it's a long year. Quarterback's going to get hurt. Everybody gets a look at Colin in June, July. And then, hey, as the season goes on, you have a scouting report on the guy. The flip side of that is, you know, why didn't Colin push for this sooner? You know, was he not ready to play? You know, is he feel like his cause is better if he doesn't play in the league? See, I'm with you, Christian. I always felt for years, you know, the AAF comes up. You know, hell, a guy like Johnny Manziel said, you know what? I need to prove people I can play in this league, and went to the CFL and played. There's opportunities to put stuff on film. Better than a workout on a Saturday in week 11. If he's really wanted to play, where's he been? You know, it's not like NFL or nothing for him. Maybe it is for a guy like AB, but not for Kaepernick. You know, he's trying to prove he can play. AB, everybody knows he can play. But Kaepernick, why has he been in the CFL for a while and playing up there? Just if you want to play it's that bad, him. You find a way to play, you know, and show people you can.
Listen, it's beneath him, because he's risen to a higher level. Guy played in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that what happened to him wasn't wrong. It was, and things could have gone better if each side did things differently. If Colin Kaepernick showed remorse for some things that he did, maybe it's the pig socks, maybe it's the Castro shirt, I don't know, it's too late now. The fact is, if you're sincere and you want to get back into the league, there are some hoops you have to jump through, okay? So they, and I would say, you're-
Now, in speaking with one-
I would say that, you know, special treatment is being given to you right now. Like who do they do this for?
I don't think that it's special treatment. I think with
You're picking. Why is it not special treatment? Who else are they doing it for? That's out of the league.
Yeah, but the league's doing it for a specific purpose. They're doing it basically because they don't probably believe that he really wants to come back. So they
calling his bluff.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so that should get them off the hook. Listen, you said you didn't want to play. Okay, teams want you, they go grab you. Now you're telling us you want to play. All right, so listen, bam. Well, let's make sure we felt like we did you dirty. We're going to make sure we set something up for you. Now the ball's in your court, man. Well, who's going to be there?
See, I'm actually...
What do you mean who's going to be there?
I'm actually more curious, but who could be catching a pass this one? Like, what wide receiver that's out there would love an opportunity to showcase his talent, go to Colin Kaepernick, and say, hey, you want to really look good? Throw the ball to AB. I'll be there. Okay. Why wouldn't he? You don't think he's trying to get in this?
That would be great.
Why, can you imagine the scene if Kaepernick is there and Antonio Brown is catching footballs for him? I mean, you're trying to make him look good, right? Who better to make you look good?
Now it's a two-ring circus. That's what we're doing here, right?
But if you're Kaepernick, who's he going to throw to? Bunch of what kids?
That's actually, so AB calls up Colin Kaepernick. Hey, listen, I was a support of you. I was taking a knee also.
As you can see,
we're both in the same boat now.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, trying to keep us both
up.
Let's go show what we can do.
Let's do it together. Maybe it's a package deal.
Package deal.
Both together.
Show what we can do.
But you guys tell me.
Listen, because you can't overthrow
AB. Why wouldn't he go? No, you can't.
I would say
listen,
yes.
Listen, man, you overthrow a bunch of throws to these scrubs you're going to have out there. They'll miss it. Me, AB one hands it. Tiptoe Tony. Come on, baby. Throw the ball on the sideline. Listen, I got you.
I can almost hear and feel what is going to happen in all
Tip-toe
of this.
Tony?
Some people are going to look at the video or whatever, and you will get somebody, even if he sucks in this thing, somebody will be out there saying, you look good. Look real good. He looked good. And then next week, nobody is going to sign him, and the people who are supportive of his cause, his political cause, are going to be screaming and yelling, and they're going to say he's being blackballed. He's been blackballed from day one.
Well, you're going to, especially like you're saying, that non-football crowd, immediately there will be someone saying that the fact that no NFL coaches showed up is disrespectful.
Yes.
Because they're not aware, they don't pay attention to sports and realize how crazy it is to think that an NFL coach is going to fly to Atlanta and watch this guy work up on a Saturday when they got a game on Sunday. Like, it's ridiculous to even think of. Now, Kaepernick mentioned a tweet, can't wait to see the head coaches there.
I was going
to
see none.
So the people following Kaepernick are reading his tweet. All right, so let's see what head coaches and GMs show up. And when there's zero head coaches and zero GMs and like you said, scouts, they're going to turn that as disrespectful. This whole thing was a sham.
So why did why did they do it? Why did the NFL do it? We weren't sitting here talking about Kaepernick. Nobody was talking about Kaepernick. People had come back to the games. The ratings were back up again. All of that, the so-called Trump crowd that left, all came back. What are we talking about? Why did the league do this? Why did they have to do this?
Jay-Z.
Maybe.
And now he's probably sitting there going, oh, so now I get it. I get it.
I thought it was for real.
So didn't the Patriots say that they are sending somebody?
They are. I forget who had the report.
Yeah, but they almost have to now if you're looking at it from a political standpoint. They're in a blue state here. Okay, so they're looking at it saying, we got to send somebody. Do you think they're in a blue state, they're going to send somebody down? You tell me. Do you think there's any chance that the New England Patriots are going to sign Colin Kaepernick if he looks great?
They signed Cody Kessler. I'm just saying. But here's the thing. But here's the problem. That's not a role for him. That position, people go, wow, Cody Kessler, blah, 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 Ryan Lilly. No. Those are positions for one-year, second-year guys that you can manipulate them on the roster, pull them up, push them down, cut them. They're not going anywhere. You don't spend a lot of money on them. They don't cost them anything. You develop them at your own pace. Colin Kaepernick is not coming in to be a on-the-roster, not-on-the-roster type of guy. That's not what he's doing.
What's he coming in for?
He wants to be a starter or a backup. And I would think best-case scenario, backup.
Best-case scenario.
And there's about four teams. And I would say, listen,
have a backup quarterback.
Okay, but I would say
that style.
It's not this year.
It's not about that, though. How many backups go down? How many starters go down and backups are in?
You think Lamar Jackson has a long shelf life over the next 2 years?
The point is that if Lamar Jackson goes down, blows out his ACL, okay, RG3 is your starter, who's his backup?
That's my point. So I think there's opportunities.
It might not be the backup. It might just be on film. So when the starter goes down, all of a sudden he slides into that third string, and eventually maybe I'll play a guy like RG3.
I would say Colin Kaepernick could roll into that Baltimore offense and excel in that offense. It's the same offensive coordinator that he had in San Francisco when he had all that success. They run the exact same thing. Everything that they're doing fits his skill set. Lamar Jackson has such a high completion percentage because a lot of it is play action. A lot of it is defenses and linebackers biting so hard on the fake or being so conscious of the run that even the DBs get caught looking in the backfield.
Yeah,
because they got to come up and make a tackle. or else it's 50 yards instead of 10.
I still don't understand. The NFL had Colin Kaepernick out of their life. And this weekend, he's going to be mentioned
they had no
in
choice.
Every single one you, of these football
shows. They hijack it. They hold him hostage. And then I think the NFL said, screw it. I'm calling your bluff.
Crazy.
You want to work out? I'm going to do something that we've never done for anybody.
I still think he gets the attention next week. Here's Luke in Maine to talk about it. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Luke.
Hey, I had a question. I didn't know if you guys bought into the theory at all, potentially, that this is a nod at Nike. They obviously split ways with Kaepernick. Nike bought him out, and now they're bringing him in. Could this be a peace offering or try to mend some wounds?
Who knows? I mean, it could be, you have theories everywhere. I don't know the relationship right now between the NFL and Nike. I don't know if it's a bad one, so I don't know. I mean, right now everything is out there because like Glenn said, I mean,
doesn't make sense.
It was gone. It was over. Now, I mean, it was quieted down a little bit, right? It was quiet.
Yeah, I didn't hear anybody talking about him at all. And he hasn't done any interviews or done anything to stoke it up. I think this is going to stoke it up.
I think it's just
up.
Roger Goodell washing his hands of it. Saying, don't blame me for not being in the league. I gave him a tryout. Blame the owners. Well, blame the organization.
Well, Mike Florio.
Ain't my fault.
Yeah, Mike Florio claims that there were a few teams that possibly wanted to bring him in for a workout. So the commissioner's doing it for that reason. Well, wait a minute. Why didn't those teams bring him in?
Right.
Was the league putting a high boss? Were they saying, no, you can't bring him in? I didn't hear any of that. Do you guys hear any of that?
Nope.
No. Heard none of it. All right, we're going to take a break again. We're doing something special today, and it goes on for 25 hours or as long as the big fella is upright, raising money for the American Diabetes Association. He's going to go straight out. We're bringing on some of the greatest professional athletes, the guys that you put up there on your Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
We already talked to Larry Bird. We're going to talk to Tom Brady coming up next as part of all of this 25 for 25.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
5 in the secondary for the Falcons. 4 on the defensive line. Hands on the turf. They'll come charging. There's the shotgun snap to Brady. Line drive throw. Goal line diving catch. Belt high. Touchdown. Amendola.
Caught. Touchdown. Julian Edelman.
Throwing to the end zone. Has his man open. Touchdown Fourier.
Here they come after Brady. Goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around. Makes the catch.
Steps up into the pocket. Starts to run with it. Avoids one man. Dives for a first down. Guess who he avoided? Urlacher. What a move by Brady.
Brady looking to throw it. Touchdown. Mike Vrabel. Brady still has it. He throws to the end zone for the touchdown. Fourier, second of the day.
Brady to Christian, you Fourier.
Look at this. Yay. How could this not motivate you? This is what it's all about.
Getting a little jacked now.
Guys,
I got pretty fired up.
Guy's pretty good, isn't he?
Who,
I'm not
me?
Talking about
oh,
you. No, I'm talking
you.
About Brady.
Oh,
Brady's pretty good. Unbelievable.
Touchdown, huh?
And how about you throwing in the Vrabel touchdown? I mean, seriously?
Well, I want to get about? Hold on. I want to get
not even here.
I want to get to that with Brady. Tom Brady has nicely called in to support his old teammate here as we raise some money for the American Diabetes Association, and so he's on the line right now. Tom, how you doing? Thank you for calling in.
Hi, guys. My pleasure. Proud of the great work you guys are doing. So happy to call in and support you guys.
I'm going to give you some inside stuff with your buddy over here. He does love you. He says wonderful things about you. The only thing he's ever said about you that was really negative, he always says, why did he throw Vrabel out of the huddle? We heard that a few times. Is that okay?
Why did I do that?
Why didn't you?
No, he didn't.
Oh, why didn't I throw him out of the huddle?
Yes.
No. At that point, we put so many defensive guys in offensive positions over the years. So, you know me, I don't get much say in those types of things.
You know, what used to drive me crazy, we've had Vrabel on, I've talked to him off air too, which always drove me crazy, is we were sitting there in the huddle And sure enough, here comes Vrabel with that, you know, cat that ate the canary grin on his face, just knowing that he was upsetting the apple cart and just loving himself for doing it.
I know. He loved it. And I know it was funny. We practiced against the Texans at the Greenbrier. This was probably like 3 years ago. He was coaching for the Texans at the time. And we had a low red area pass period. And he ran over and toward the offensive huddle and kind of brisked the front of his jersey. And he said, 50 reporting. And it brought back a lot of funny memories. So he was pretty productive down there. I mean, what he did was pretty impressive. But
they
were too busy double covering Christian.
There
and then
you go.
Graves got a lot of free touchdowns.
Oh, he's smiling now. Look at this. he's got that grin.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I don't know if you know this or not, right? But Vinny Testaverde and Christian actually currently hold the record for the oldest combined age for a touchdown thrown. Now, he's been sweating all year when you guys signed Ben Watson, because the minute you throw a touchdown to him, that breaks his record. And he's trying to hold on to this record. So he's a friend of mine, but I wouldn't mind seeing you throw a pass to Ben Watson breaking that record. Could you do that for me?
I didn't know that. So what's the combined age of Vinny and Christian?
It's like 80 years and so many days.
Well, Vinny was like 45 or something that. And I was 37 or something.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I'm happy I'm in the position to be able to do it. So if I do it, I will know I'm in great company.
You have enough records. Okay, can we just, like, it's the one thing that I have that I, you know, kids, hey, boys, I do have that record still. It's still sitting up there in the record book somewhere. You know?
80 years, 104 days.
The longevity ones are pretty cool, though. So yeah. I don't know. If I'm going to take one down, it might be this one.
Yeah.
This one might feel the best. I don't know yet.
All right, so talking about longevity, are you sick and tired of answering the question about how long you're going to play?
I think it's just a natural question. I mean, you know, for most athletes that are getting older, it's just, it's not going to last forever. So at some point it comes to an end and everyone wants to be the first one to predict it. So, you know, I feel like I'm just being honest with myself that, you know, I'm just going to do the best I can do. And, you know, I feel like everything at this point is just gravy. The fact that I get to go out and play professional football at 42 is pretty cool. And, you know, I still love doing it, and I still love the competition. So I don't know when that will ever leave. I don't know if it will ever leave. I don't know what factors will contribute, but just I'm trying to be in the moment. And, you know, if you think about football, too, it's a contact sport. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. I mean, really, it's any game could be your last game. And, you know, I think it's good to have that perspective, too.
You know, we always wonder, you've accomplished everything. I mean, so much, titles, you name it, awards. And we do wonder, like, the motivation. Is it more motivating to try to win that next championship, or is there that age? You always talk about 45. Is it motivating to play to 45 or to kind of win that next championship?
Well, I think I've always said 45 just because that was, you know, that's a good goal to set. Because that was, you know, that's one that's been pretty hard to get to for most guys. So I think you have to have goals. You have, you know, daily goals, you have yearly goals, and you have long-term goals. So I think for me, it's really just the love of football, you know, and I don't know when or if I'll ever not love it. And that's the thing. It's just, I don't know. I think there's some people that are, you know, maybe great guitarists. There's great chefs. There's great lawyers. There's great artists, actors, you know, you name it. I mean, and I think that, you know, if you really love it, I don't know. Why should you stop? You just love it. It's just, I don't know what to or how to explain it other than I love doing it.
Yeah.
And that's enough for me.
We're talking to Tom Brady. And usually guys that play late in their careers, they love it. And obviously, if they get hurt, and you just brought that up, obviously your career ends. But the thing that surprises me, because I've seen so many athletes, late 30s, early, up to, well, maybe not into the 40s, who look at it much differently. It's a generational thing, Tom. You're dealing with players right now that could be your sons. And you're traveling, you're around them every single day. How do you do that? How are you dealing with that part of it?
But that part, I think, is fun for me. So I don't think that's I think that's an enjoyable part for me, is to, even guys who are, I would say, would be older players in the league but are still a lot younger than me, like Julian or or, you know, a guy like Gronk who I played with, or, you know, guys that have been extremely productive but are still, you know, trying to achieve in their career. So I feel like I can help them a lot too. And I feel like I have a lot of knowledge and experience. You know, and a lot of guys ask me about that experience and about that knowledge. And I think it's up to me to, you know, provide them with answers that have worked for me. And obviously being a part of an organization like the Patriots, you know, 20 years of experience here, you know, that's pretty unmatched. And then to be able to pass that on to guys that are trying to be the best they can be in their young career. So I enjoy that leadership aspect. I really enjoy being able to, you know, talk to guys about, you know, things they can do to improve themselves, their games, you know, so that they can reach their highest potential. Because, I mean, that's, I feel like I connect so well with football players. You know, it's like, those are the guys that have been around for the last, you know, 29 years of my life. And if I can help them, because a lot of guys helped me. There was a lot of guys older than me, like, you know, Christian. I mean, he was great, a great player, great teammate. You know, just love being in the huddle with him and what he brought when I was a younger player, his experience, his charisma, playmaking ability. I mean, all those things were, you know, were just great things that he brought to our team. So I still try to do the same in my part today.
Herm Edwards was on actually yesterday with the Hillman in the morning, and he was talking about N'Keal Harry last year and what he brings. And a lot of fans here kind of, he's still a mystery to us. We haven't really seen him all that much yet. And you know, Boston, I don't know if you knew this or not, but we read into things too much, whether it's eyeballs on Twitter or who people are following. And I'll blame Glenn because he started sports radio in this town.
Stop it. Jeez.
But
always
we hear
get blamed.
You or Bill talk about N'Keal, and maybe you just haven't seen enough of him either. And is it unfair for us to look at it and say, oh, man, they're really short with him. The compliments aren't there. Is it bad to read into it and say maybe they don't like what they're seeing?
No, I think with our team, I think it's what I think we've done over years is not project, you know, expectations for people that put them in an unfair position, that people are expecting things that, you know, are not in my control. I mean, if you want to ask someone like N'Keal how he feels he's doing, you should ask him. But to ask me and then put unfair expectations on a younger player, I mean, I don't think that's helpful at all. So it's really up to each individual player, not just N'Keal, because I like N'Keal a lot. You know, but everybody's role is earned. And I think that's been the mark of the Patriots, and that's part of the culture is, you know, you got to go out there and you got to earn a spot and you earn a role. And you do that by, through practice, earning the trust of your teammates and your coaches that you can be counted on, you know, when the moments are their biggest. And, you know, it's unfortunately for N'Keal, he got hurt early in training camp. So it just, he didn't have the development, you know, for when other guys were practicing for over 2 months. So, but he's working hard. He's extremely, you know, hardworking. He wants to do it. He's got a great edge about him. I really love that. I really love his tenacity, and he's learning every day and he's working hard to get better. And I think that's all you can ask of a younger player.
Yeah, and a lot's been made of this offense over the years. And, you know, older players come in, they can't quite figure it out. At least that's what we think. Younger players come in, and it's hard for them to kind of assimilate into the offense and figure it out. But, you know, from my point of view, you know, all these teams, they all run the same plays. They all run the same route combinations, a post to post. What's the difference between a post for, you know, Baltimore or a post for you? So it was a difficult part of this offense, the fact that not that it's just a post, but it's the way you want these guys to run the post route.
Yeah, I think it's two words to me. It's trust and dependability. And I think when I think of trust and dependability, I don't think of that as being on a team where you're 8-8. I think trust and dependability on a level of a championship level team. You know, I think there's a lot of players that, you know, it might be okay to be 8-8, and they've been involved in teams that are 8-8 or less than that, 4-12 or 2-14, and they can make some plays, but it's one thing to make plays on a team that's 2-14. It's another to do it with consistency on a team that's 14-2. And I think, you know, our teams have been typically – you know, competing for our division, competing for the conference championship, and then beyond that. And I think we require a very, very high level of consistency and dependability. And if you don't bring that, then I think other people can fill those roles. So it's not a knock on any players. It's really a credit to the guys that, you know, have been able to, you know, look at the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. You know, who's in the game, you know, and that's who the team trusts the most. You know, if you think back to our Seattle game, if you think back to our game against Atlanta, if you think back to the Eagles game, if you think back to the Rams game, who was on the field? And that's who everyone felt in the biggest moment gave our team the best chance to win.
So, Tom, I know you're on the mornings with Greg Hill, and you guys seem to have an awful lot of fun every single Monday
morning.
We're
so envious.
Yeah. Later in the day, we get to interview Bill.
Are you glad you guys not having fun?
Well, no. Bill.
I was saying later in the day, we get to talk to Bill. And I was looking for some advice. You know, Christian played for him. Glenn's been friends with him for a while. I'm struggling a little bit. Is there any advice in just sort of having fun with Bill?
Tommy hates Bill hates him.
No,
he hates Lou.
No,
he hates
a good
Lou.
Relationship.
I think he hates us both at times.
Lou. I'm sorry, Lou. It's okay. I don't think it's anything personal. So I feel like he's very consistent and focused. So getting him on a Monday afternoon when he's thinking about our next opponent is probably not the best time to, you know.
So wait, when's a good time?
Wait, yeah. What,
give us a good day.
Tuesday?
Time.
What do you think?
Tuesday?
I would say off seasons are probably typically.
So we should do Patriot
better.
Mondays during the off season.
I like that.
Okay, I'm good. Well, Tom.
It might work. He'll definitely open up a little bit more. But he's competitive, and I think he doesn't want to give away any. You know, he doesn't want to give away any information that's going to help the other team. So, I appreciate that about him.
So we got a pretty cool thing going on today. We talked to Larry Bird earlier this morning. He came on first. You're on now. Bobby Orr is coming on tomorrow. Lou is working on David Ortiz.
God,
he's
so much
promised
pressure.
David
so
Ortiz.
So much pressure.
I'm not sure if he can pull it off or not. But we know we talked to Larry Bird, and I asked him if he had ever met you before, and he said no. And I don't know. I guess all superstars in Boston should like hang out in some bar, swapping stories. But you've never met Larry Bird, have you?
No, I wish I have, because I've been a big fan of his. And you know, being here for 20 years, I've heard a lot of Larry Bird stories. So that guy was a stud, man. He was everything you'd want in a teammate, the ultimate competitor, clutch. You know, wanted the toughest assignments. And, you know, against Magic, and they had some great games. But I love Larry. I'm a big fan of his, and he's accomplished a lot more beyond just a player. And I think that's a cool thing as well.
Think about this. He three-time MVP, okay, numerous times, couple times NBA Finals MVP, obviously Hall of Famer, okay, Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year. I mean, talk about that's quite a bit.
Well, I think it probably speaks to, you know, how capable he is, and what I think if you look at his basketball intelligence, you know, how capable he actually was.
He was raving about you.
He
was raving about you when he was comparing his matchup with Magic Johnson. We were with him, with you and Peyton Manning. We got to get the two of you guys together. Maybe
next year when we do 50.
Jerry, you always help us out in the Jimmy Fun telethon. Maybe we'll fly him in. Maybe we'll work something out. We got to do it, right?
Bring him in. I know. That'd be cool, because I have met a lot of the guys over the years, and Bill Russell, and I met obviously Big Poppy, and I mean, so many of the great Red Sox, the younger Celtics generation with Kevin Garnett and Paul and Ray Allen. I've been around those guys, but the old school guys, not as much. Danny, obviously, I have, but not as much with Larry.
He raved about Boston, and you've been here for a long, long time. Well, Foxborough, but it's Boston. You've lived in Boston. Has it settled in to you that you're going down as the most beloved and one of the greatest athletes in Boston sports history? Because we're getting these guys on today, and they're already out of the game. You're still in the game. Has that hit you at any point?
I think I've been so blessed to, you know, again, do something I love to do for 20 years in the same place, and to raise my family here. My kids were born on Beacon Street in our apartment. You know, I lived in Franklin. I lived in Quincy. I lived on Boston. I lived on Comm Ave. I lived on Beacon, and now we live in Chestnut Hill. And our kids have been raised here, and it's been an amazing place, and it's just it's a great area for families, and we have great sports tradition, and every year it seems like our teams are right in the mix, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, you name it. We're all competitive. We got great following, so much support from everyone in the community. Even, you know, so many players do so many great things in the community, and it's just a, you know, it's just a great place in our country. And, you know, we love being here.
All right, last question for me is that, you know, we got a couple good tight ends that work in this building. So one game, one tight end, who are you choosing? Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins? I'll even throw in Mike Vrabel.
Oh, how's that? Well, Mike's not even a tight end, so Okay. Go ahead.
There's Wiggy's here, too.
I like them all. I'd be in Detroit personnel or New York, too tight. I'd get them all on the field.
There you go.
We got some good formation variations. When you got talented players, you got to put them all on the field at the same time. You got to make the defense defend them, so I couldn't choose just one.
All right, we're all taking bets, the entire staff, on whether Christian can make the 25 hours. The over-under is 23.5. You going over or under?
He's absolutely making the 25, so that's the over. I have no doubt about that.
See that?
He'll do it. No doubt in my mind.
That's my boy right there. There you go. That's all the motivation I need.
He'll do it.
Let's go!
You forgot another word.
Baby. Let's go.
Listen, we really appreciate you helping out. People can go on to wei.com/25 and can help the cause with American Diabetes Association. Tom Brady, thank you very much for being part of it. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Happy to have. Good luck, guys. Good luck motoring.
All right, man. Thanks.
See you later.
Have a great night.
You got it. Tom Brady right here on OMF.
Fourier's 25 for 25, raising funds for the American Diabetes Association.
Make your time count and join hundreds of thousands of American Diabetes Association volunteers to make a difference through community outreach, event support, and advocacy. Find your fit at diabetes.org/volunteer.
Visit WEEI.com/25. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Let us play. Turn it up. I got it. I'm energized.
Good luck, Boulder.
Hold on. Wait for it. Wait for it. Don't you interrupt, Glenn.
Just tune it down now.
Good luck, motoring.
Bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down slowly. Bring it down slowly.
Good luck, motoring.
How many more hours do you think he'll be singing?
You played it all night long.
Oh, by the way, this last segment of the program being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car and help a child today. Schedule your free pickup. 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com.
Yo, man's got it so easy.
Yeah, real quick, though, before we get our boy Steve DeFilippo in from Davio's, I want to thank a bunch of our sponsors. Omnipod Insulin Management System, Northeast Men's Clinic, Test Strips, Think Inside the Box, AtlanticPowerCleaning.com, McFarlane Energy, Shaw's Star... Ooh. Man, I already ate some food from Davio's.
This is hour four.
Shaw's and Star Market and Awaken 180. There you go.
Let's bring in our friend Steve DeFilippo. Dale, it's not Filippo, it's Filippo, okay? Unfortunately, all Steve's friends text me every time they hear Dale's commercial for Awaken 180, and he mispronounces Steve's name, but I'm sure Dale will fix it.
I'm just honored he knows my name. You know, I mean, let's face it. Dale Arnold knows my name.
Everybody knows you in town, okay? Not only did Steve bring over food for the entire crew, but he also made a hefty donation to the cause, which is does not surprise me with Steve.
$1,000. So, people have these fundraisers. I'm so thankful for you for just being a part of it, bringing food in, and you're always there. I know people know Steve. If you don't know Steve, if ever you need something, he's always there to help out, lend a hand.
Got a flat tire, Steve.
Don't call him if you have a flat tire, though. Call AAA. But thank you.
You know, we're so provincial, and you've been very helpful to charities that I've done.
Sure.
You know, and that's what we do. We all help each other when we need help. And you called me, and that's why we're here, you know. And, of course, you bring me on after Tom Brady, not during Tom Brady. You know, I really appreciate that. You know, Tom's talking about, you know, meeting these guys and having a dinner, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm over here. Let's talk about Davio's. No.
Wait, did we don't you mention see him that. Jumping
like,
up going, and down?
I'm like, what are you wait, wrong with
who
you guys?
Who in the room knew what he was talking about? Did you know?
I thought Steve was...
Yeah. What, I'm going to talk about, what, the Middle East problems? I'm a restaurateur. What do you think I want to talk
press
about?
Press that red button.
I was going to say, I was waiting for him to press the red button. Like, Davios, opening a new one in Seaport.
What do you think? Come on, Tom. You know, we're fortunate he, you know, kind of knows us.
He's a fan of Davios.
Steve's got, he is. He's a big fan of Davios. Steve's got places all over the area. Obviously, people know it. And outside and, you know, in Pennsylvania and Atlanta and Philadelphia. And he's opening up a big, huge place. This is your largest restaurant,
oh, yeah,
I believe.
It's right on the waterfront. It opens next
Saturday.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Very exciting.
Good for you.
I've always wanted to be on the water here in Boston. I started in Faneuil Hall when I was a kid, bussing tables when I was, you know, 18 years old. And it's so great to be back on the water. And I'm so excited.
It's an amazing area down there, too.
Oh, it's just booming.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to be moving down there in the next 2 years. I can't wait to get out of the house.
Then you also have the airport.
Well, the airport opened like 6 weeks ago. That is a whole other thing.
It is
absolutely insane over there. And I do feel like I'm 19 working in Faneuil Hall again when I'm at the airport because it is so busy. You know, I've been busting tables. And,
yeah. So do you have to get the food out quicker at the airport? Because people are on a
you're
tight schedule.
Tables? Somewhat. Oh, yeah. Whatever it takes, Lou.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
like Lou, when you were playing baseball,
takes,
when you had a clean Nomar's cleats, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm sorry, Lou.
No, but it's nice you forget where you came from.
No, you never do. In this business,
yeah.
You know, I don't have an office. You think I go to an office every day? What do you think
my office is? The kitchen.
Your car.
It's your restaurant.
My car. No, my office is the restaurants. That's where we go every day.
And the menu at the airport, is it the same as?
Well, it's our greatest hits. You know, it's a reduced Dodgers menu, but we're running. It's our people in there. I mean, it's fantastic. We're making everything fresh pasta, the fresh meatballs. Everything is exactly like you would get at a Dodgers.
Bolognese.
So if I roll in there and say, listen, I got 20 minutes to catch my flight.
Yep.
Am I good?
Meatballs.
No.
No, listen. Yeah. If I come in.
Oh you.
Me.
Yeah.
Special
you'll probably already have text Tanya, myself, Rodney. Yeah. You'll have like the whole team there welcoming you, right?
I know. Yeah. I'm needy. Yeah. Have you noticed what is going on here?
Yeah, it's crazy.
High maintenance. I deal with it every day.
There was a team at the door when I came in. Mr. DeFilippo, right this way.
Like, are you on the list? Hold on. You're on the list? Let me check you off.
Only the important people.
Oh, yeah. But I got to tell you, I'm so proud of you. You really are.
I appreciate that.
You are, I mean, what you're doing is just, I can't even believe it.
I see, and I have a lot more respect for what you've done with the taste of the NFL, and we've all heard stories about every year you bring your
phenomenal,
own food down, all that
man.
Stuff.
Oh,
how much
God.
Work that goes right. into it is just mind-boggling.
Do you know, since you've joined, we've never lost, right?
This is true.
We are
this
undefeated with you being our pro.
That's
so
right. And,
we win every year with you.
Next year to be in Miami.
Steve,
just to interrupt you, it's not really him. It's like that number 12 guy. It's the number 12 guy.
See, you know, what a jerk.
I'm sorry.
You know what? Time for you to go.
Well,
I'm
happy leaving.
Your replacement
I'm waiting
is here.
For Mutt to take over in this chair, baby.
By the way, we had fun down there in Atlanta.
We always
right?
do.
We had a lot of dinners together.
Yeah, that was great.
Right? Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We weren't on a Wake and Win any that week, I'll tell you that.
It was every single night. It was like, again? My wife's like, really? You going again? I'm like, we're going to swing by.
Steve, thanks again for coming in and helping out the cause. We really appreciate it. Seaport. The Davios. I remember when he had a tiny little place in Newbury Street, and I used to hang out with him at the bar all the time.
And that's how we became good friends.
You'll be something someday, right? Was that what he used to tell you?
Yeah, he actually did.
I told him. And I tell you what, you keep on making.
And then he told me when we moved from Newbury to Arlington Street, he would make me. He said, I will make you. Remember? I remember you telling me, I will help you so much. And here we are.
So we opened up down in Arlington Street, and we did the Winey's the first year.
Oh, my God.
He had just opened up that week, and he needed to get attention, so we did the Winey's actually at his restaurant in Davios. The people that showed up for the Winey Awards destroyed his floor.
They were stealing the silverware. They were taking place. No, they were
I
taking
that actually.
No, I caught a guy in the bathroom taking, you know, the soap dispensers. I was like, seriously, sir, you need a soap dispenser? You know, they cost $12. You know, I got them at Marshall's up the street.
And we just he had to redo the entire floors in the entire restaurant.
The floor was the floor was never the same. Still, we finally redid it this year. For 17 years, we always had the same marks there.
And it's my fault.
Well, after going to my first Winey's, I could definitely see that happen.
Yeah, he tried
the
to
crowd
help.
The crowd is interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that again? Why you don't do that again?
Talk to Joe Zarabano right over there.
Joe, it's about time you got off
Joe. Go talk to
tell him.
Hey, listen, I tried to help you out, and I screwed you. I'm sorry. I apologize years later. All right, we're going to get out of here. Mutt's going to take your seat for a second because we want to see what Mutt's got on tap.
I brought Mutt food. I just want everybody to know
you
that.
You brought Mutt
that's separate food over there, too.
Good.
He's sharing.
Mutt's currently fasting.
Mutt's eating chicken fingers? What is it, chicken fingers?
Not tonight, Mutt.
Not tonight. You kidding me?
Steve, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, so Lou and I are about to leave
you guys are gone.
And we're going to put you in the capable hands of Mike Mendanski, okay? Capable.
And Lou's coming back.
I'll be back at 11.
This is going to be good.
Well, I can't wait to see what Lou comes back like after. Where's dinner tonight?
I'll be back at 11.
You going to Encore?
Look at I'll be back at 11.
Look at what he's got.
Let me get a hit of that, Lou, before
he's got a bottle of Crown.
Why don't you leave that for Fourier? Might need that at some point.
You and I,
bring it back later. Listen, we're here for 4 hours. I'm not going anywhere.
So what are we doing for the 4 hours here? You're on with the big fella.
React to any one of those. I'm going to play some Tom Brady for sure. I thought Brady was excellent. I said it to Lou. I'll say it to all three of you guys. Excellent interview. Got the best N'Keal Harry answer we've gotten so far.
Yep.
And his answer on trust might have been like the most honest Tom Brady answer of all time. So I want to talk to him about that.
Might have meant something, too.
I would say
somebody
so.
Else.
Little bit. Eight teams elsewhere? Yeah, I'd say so. Meanwhile, we're going to bust his balls for 4 hours and give him credit for what he's doing.
Matt Hasselbeck's coming on at 8:05.
Yeah, good. He's a good guy.
Another Matt former Hasselbeck roommate, quarterback of mine.
We'll ask him about this Kaepernick thing.
He was tweeting out today.
Well, you got a nice time slot, because I think you're still going to get Christian when he's like alive.
I talked to a coworker today. He said, I had the best time slot because I'd like 6 o'clock tomorrow, like 10 a.m. Actually, I think Dale and Keith have it the worst.
Yeah.
That was last 4 hours. You're going to be struggling, Joe Namath.
I think my give a struggling. Crap zero.
All right, thanks, boys. So 4 hours with you, and then at 10 o'clock, your wife, Kim, comes in here, and you're doing a little...
We're going to do a little... Here's what you want to do.
Do you want to host the 9 o'clock hour to prepare what a hosting job will be like, the 10 o'clock hour?
I'm not worried about it. Okay. I'm sure if you have questions about dating advice, relationship, sex questions.
Yeah, terrific.
I have positions, some. Whatever.
What is sex?
Call in.
What is sex?
I'll explain it to you.
Where does what go? What? How does that work?
When you see a horse taking a turn in the first quarter,
and then we'll do the wives from 11 to 12. So I'll see you back there.
We will do the wives.
Oh yes.
No. Time out. You're on the radio. You're running. Thanks to everybody, and again, you can help us out.
Good luck, Christian.
WEEI.com/25. Mutt's coming up next. If you missed any, with the big fella. If you missed any of today's show, remember, great stuff. Larry Bird today. Tom Brady today, Dante Hightower with Teddy Bruschi. You can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the new Rewind feature. If you still don't have the app, just text APP to 37937. That's 37937. The fella continues on. I'm going home. Good night. We'll catch you tomorrow, too.
Good luck motoring.